Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
We see we cut the Kit Kat and haul.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Extra Cast for the week of June 9th, 2014. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Joe.
Swoopa Action Cast number one.
And Chris.
Hey.
And we're celebrating 5 years as a website this week, and also 4 years since Joe joined us, so... Happy anniversary to both of those for us.
High fives all around.
Yes. So, let's get right to the show, because we have so much stuff to talk about. It's E3 week, so there's tons of video game stuff to talk about, a ton of trailers, someone's typing furiously, it's... everyone can hear it.
It ain't me.
Chris?
Hey, better typing furiously than whacking furiously, I'd say.
At least I wouldn't hear the whacking.
Yeah.
Would you?
I want you to hear it, damn it.
It'd be quieter.
That's a power move.
So anyway, let's get into trailers like we usually do to kick things off. First up, there was the trailer for, or actually, probably first and foremost, we should talk about the first trailer for Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh yeah.
Dropped during Jimmy Fallon on Tuesday night. It's the official sequel. Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels are back as Harry and Lloyd. It's actually picking up in real time, so it's been 20 years since the original Dumb and Dumber, so now it's 20 years in movie time. And apparently Lloyd's been pulling a quote-unquote prank on Harry for 20 years of like being comatose in an insane asylum. And then they find out that Harry has a daughter, and they set out to find her. And hijinks ensue. So what'd you guys think of the trailer?
Say what you will about if this movie's necessary. Say what you will about, you know, if this movie's going to be as good as the first or whatever. I think it looked fucking hilarious. And I think it is, like, perfectly on par with what I would have expected from a sequel, you know, that follows, like, the first movie. Like, a traditional, like, real sequel.
Yeah, it definitely it feels like... The first movie was only, like, a year or two ago. So seeing those guys back in, like, their costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
Costumes, quote-unquote.
Their personas. Yeah, I think I read somewhere, or I saw, like, it's not rated yet, but apparently they're shooting for an R rating, which is weird.
Oh,
first
good.
World PG-13.
Oh, well, everyone who's a fan of the original is, like, 20. So it's, like...
Well, it's that, and it's also Jump Street.
Yeah. And Ted and all the other big movies that have been R-rated. Like,
yeah,
the counties are pretty massive right now.
Yeah.
I mean, looks like there's some funny bits in the trailer. I love the end bit with, like, the phone, where, like, Harry's dialing his daughter's number, and it's, like, it's a phone just sitting there, and, like, Lloyd picks it up, and it's like, guys, it's my dad. And I guess, like, I just want to jump and check the cast, but, like, I guess, like, Rob Riggle, speaking of 21 Jump Street, is going to co-star, and Kathleen Turner is going to be Freda Felcher, and a couple other people. Oh, yeah, Paul Blackthorne from Arrow is going to be in it. I think... I'm guessing either Rob Riggle or Paul Blackman is going to be, like, kind of like the Charlie Rocket role for this movie.
Charlie Rocket. What... Was it the Hitman?
No, he was the main bad guy who was, like, orchestrating everything. Who kidnapped Mary's husband and stuff.
Ah.
But he was like, their family friend or whatever.
Yeah, like, that plot I kind of forgot. You know, like, the whole ransom part.
The actual plot of the movie.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, just like a bunch of stuff in the first movie, like the Shaggin' Wagon's back. Even though they sold it to like a kid on a scooter in the first movie, but I guess it's back. Apparently, Seabass is gonna be back. Billy from 4C.
Nice.
Well, I wonder if they're gonna bring back like Kitty from the cartoon series.
I've never seen one episode of the cartoon.
You've never seen it?
No.
Oh my god! It was like, I think it was like 8 episodes, I think, and it was terrible. Like it basically was like, it was better than Dumb and Dumber when Harry met Lloyd.
Well, pretty much everything's better in that movie, but
yeah, anything's better. So I mean, that's not a good gauger. But this is like,
how's it compared to Ace Ventura the cartoon?
Worse. Worse, because they, okay, so for example,
The Mask, this cartoon.
The Mask actually wasn't that bad.
Nah, it wasn't bad.
The weird, like, mad scientist bad guy who had a spider head.
Yeah.
That happened?
Yeah, like, yeah. The Mask's main villain in the cartoon was, like, this evil mad scientist who I think was voiced by Tim Curry, possibly. And
well, it was the 90s. Every other TV show was voiced by Tim Curry.
Yeah, but, like, he had, like, his head, he was, like, a cyborg, basically. You know, like, if he knocked his head off, he had, like, spider legs that came out. Like, metal spider legs.
It was the 90s. It was a weird time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's nice that they're kind of, like, not mentioning anything else of the Dumb and Dumber franchise. It's just like, oh, that first movie, and that's it. Yep.
Nothing else happened. So. Nothing has happened in 20 years.
No cartoon, no prequel, no, was there anything else that was a tie-in?
Not really, no.
Yeah, okay, I guess that's it.
But yeah, I'm excited. Like, the first movie is, like, ingrained in my DNA. Like, I had, like, the VHS of that, I was, like, just watch it, like, every other day. Like, I'm pretty sure I could probably go, like, half an hour into, like, just straight up dialogue memorized. But yeah, so that's hitting in November, so that should be pretty awesome for Thanksgiving time. It's probably gonna be like the Anchorman 2 of this holiday season. So other trailers that came out is we got the first trailer for The November Man, which is Pierce Brosnan's return to kind of espionage action. He's been doing, like, a lot of weird, random, like, cameos and comedy stuff. Like, cough, Mamma Mia, cough. But, yeah, so he's playing an retired CIA agent who has to come back and do one last mission to, like, to find out, because I guess it's, like, someone he trained is, like, going rogue or something, is to figure out how to stop them.
Of course.
Did you guys see that trailer?
I didn't, but I'm interested in this movie. I do enjoy Pierce Brosnan, so.
Yes, I'm a huge Pierce Brosnan fan, so. Like, I mean, arguably, he's not the best Bond, but, like, he's my first Bond, so I'm like.
Right,
special
right,
place
right.
in my heart for him, and, exactly. Like, GoldenEye is my first Bond movie, so I'm just like, yes.
Really?
Yes. Yep.
You never really got into the Timmy Dalton era? The one that's, like, really meant for our like, kid generation?
Nope.
See yourself out.
Hey, I like, I think, License to Kill. I always confuse the one where, like, he's with the cello lady.
Yeah.
So. But Pierce, yeah, he's definitely, like, a better Bond than Pierce, and then, Timmy Dalton, because it's, like...
Well, Pierce Brosnan was supposed to be in, like, License to Kill and stuff, but then the whole Remington Steele thing was, like, they couldn't get out of the contract in time, so...
Right, so they just waited, and it was good, because it was, like, when it came out, it was, like, it's been at least 5 years.
Because Pierce Brosnan was, like, well, I lost my chance to play Bond, but then when it came back around, and, like, for GoldenEye, he was, like, yes, they're, like, hey, Remington Steele was canceled, like, 5 years ago. Do you want to still be Bond? He's like, yes. and it's also got, like, Olga Kurylenko in it, and Luke Bracey is going to be our future Johnny Utah.
Not I can say about it.
And it's directed by Roger Donaldson, who has, like, the most bizarre, like, directing resume I've ever, like, he's done The Recruit with, like, with the Al Pacino and Colin Farrell. He also did The Bank Job with Jason Statham, Seeking Justice with Nicolas Cage, what? And Cocktail.
Jesus.
Among many other movies.
Who is this man?
This guy is just cherry picking our childhood movies.
Is he, like, I've been in that. B-roll?
Like, yeah, he's done. He's the most random, like, who go from, like, a weird comedy to, like, an action movie to, like, a sci-fi movie. He directed Species.
Okay, this is a troll.
He directed Cadillac Man. He directed No Way Out. Dante's Peak. So he's worked with Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, man. This guy's, like, my favorite director.
World Fest is Indian. Yeah, it's pretty
much. Oh, yeah, just Alien Resurrection.
Alien Resurrection, no.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
That's a weird French guy.
Yeah, no, I know.
But... wasn't that guy directed Amelie?
I think so.
Because it was, like, weird, it was, like, French, and you had to put, like, weird, like, the aliens need to have, they need to be, like, how you say it, transgendered or whatever, I don't know.
They need to be, like, a flaky croissant.
Hermaphrodite aliens who make people uncomfortable.
Oh, when he was explaining that to Joss Whedon, and he was like, what did I do? What did I sign up for?
Yep. Yeah, so November Man, actually not coming out in November, it's coming out in August.
That's just bad marketing.
Yeah, like it should be like, it's like, I'm sure there's been other movies that have like, they have like a month or date in the title and they don't come out anywhere near that. Like Halloween, like Halloween's came out in like August, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, other movies that we got trailers for. We got the first trailer for Leprechaun Origin, which talked to everyone involved in that at New York Comic Con last year. And now we're finally seeing the first trailer for it.
Yeah, it looks like a good Evil Dead movie.
Yeah, it's definitely nowhere near as campy as the other Leprechauns. It seems like it's going more toward horror. Like, the Leprechaun's more like a weird, like...
Demon?
Yeah, demon, like, natural force or something. Mythological creature that's, like, been awakened.
Spoiler alert, it's Hornswoggle.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's on the poster. Yeah, I don't think he's playing, like, the main hero or anything.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, no matter how much of a force of nature he is, at the end of the day, it's gonna be fucking Hornswoggle.
Yeah. But, like, heavily, like, special effected up and, like, makeup to up to Hornswoggle. You don't...
That remains to be seen.
Yeah, there's no glimpse of him at all in the trailer. It's just...
No, none. Not even close.
The random teens who are gonna be, like, slaughtered by him.
The random teens and then, like, the random, like...
Irish villagers. Yeah. Oh, you go up to that cabin in the woods up there, yeah.
We have secrets.
Like, I actually thought the origin was it was going to be, like, a bunch of little people, and then they just get cursed, and then, boom, Leprechaun. I thought it was, like, the origin of Leprechauns, not just origin of,
like, yeah, not
Irish.
Like,
yeah.
Not, like, Leprechaun. I mean, they could have just pretty much rebooted it instead of being, like, Leprechaun
Origins.
But, like, you know, we're not going to see him become the Leprechaun.
Yeah, know? I thought that was going to... I was more excited about that concept than I am about, oh, it's just like he's going to fuck with people like his first kill. Yeah, that's going to be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the idea of, like, you don't know about the Leprechaun. He just shows up and fucks your day. Like, I like that concept. So when it's trying to go into more detail, it's like, eh... Either be super vague or be super specific. Don't give me like more, like, mysteries.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely seems like, because they're looking at like old books and stuff. It definitely seems like he's gonna be like some sort of like creature, like mythological creature or legend that people are like.
They're making like, it to be like maybe, Apocalypse.
Well, like it's like some sort of creature that. Maybe like created like Leprechaun myths that we like it's or he's like the saint like the Krampus or something of Leprechauns.
Oh, he's always existed, but like yeah, or the like first time saint they documented Nicholas. It.
And then before, like, Coca-Cola came in and, like made him, like, an like a super sweet image of, for to sell products.
I think there was, like, another German tale that was, like, not... He wasn't that bad, but, like, he still was a dick to kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Coca-Cola American version made him to wear the red suit, like, the fluffy one.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like, you can't...
Have either of you guys seen Rare Exports? It's like, the weird, like, Norwegian Santa Claus movie where they find, like, the actual, like, original Santa who's basically, like, this, like, weird creature.
No, but I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. It seems more like that. Like, I don't think there's meaning of, like, rapping or, weird,
Iced tea.
Yeah, no iced tea. No, like, no rhymes, no, like weird,
limericks.
Yeah, no limericks, no comic, like, Rube Goldberg devices set up to kill people.
Yeah, so it's gonna be Nightmare on Elm Street 1 and not Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be also, I think it's also in August. It's going to be on VOD in August, and it's going to hit a couple, like, limited theaters in September. Blu-ray in September, VOD in August, a month before, so.
Hmm.
Still nowhere on See No Evil 2.
Yeah, who knows?
And then also for trailers, we got the second trailer for Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, actually today when we're recording this on Wednesday. Did you guys see that new trailer?
No, but I don't really need to. I know what's going down.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be there. You know what I'm saying?
It's pretty much kind of the same thing as the first trailer, just like...
Let me guess, slow black and white action shots.
Yep. The same song.
Voiceover.
That same Glitch Mob song.
Cool.
And, yeah, like, the only new thing is, like, it seems like everyone is just gonna be, like, trying to kill Powers Booth. Because he's the evil, corrupt senator of Sin City.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica Alba's gonna have, like, weird, like, ghost Bruce Willis haunting her and making her crazy.
So it's like a reverse... No, it's an actual Sixth Sense. It's not even a reverse Sixth Sense. Just Sixth Sense too,
I'm interested. I like the stories. I like the fact that they're making more after like 6 years of nothing.
Well, it's been almost 10 years since the first Sin City.
Holy shit!
Yeah, man.
Because the first Sin City came out in 2005, so we're a year away from the 10th anniversary.
Well, and you know what the worst part is like if they got another actress to play Nancy, which is Jessica Alba's character, you would see, like, the actual stripper attitude and shit, not just like, oh, Jessica Alba wearing a cowgirl outfit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the comic, because she's, like, a really busty, like eccentric stripper girl. So, and then it's like, oh, okay, then you see Jessica Alba doing it, and like, eh, no, you don't see that.
Yeah.
I'm sure Eva Green will,
balance that out.
God damn.
Eva, wear a bra. Or
no.
Not. Whatever.
That whole ridiculous...
Or anything.
That ridiculous poster thing.
The poster that the rating system was like, nope, too sexy.
Yep.
I guess it's kind of an honor. We're like, nope, you need to wear
more
clothing.
You are too hot. there are children who are going to be walking by and seeing this poster.
Be whacking in the street.
Yeah.
There will literally be kids fapping in movie theater hallways.
Yeah.
Like, okay, do you remember that poster with, me, okay, this is another side story, but me and Drew were walking New York, and we saw that Katy Perry, like, the pistachio poster with her, like, huge cleavage.
I saw that too, because that was in your Comic-Con last year.
Right, and we're just like, there's a hobo somewhere in the street just whacking it to this. Just like, this is what he's just, like, thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
hobo, I almost did, are you kidding me?
So, and we saw Eva Green just like, that is, like, classic sexy, and it's, like, she's just wearing a nightie, holding a gun. Like, yeah, that's... And, like, oh, God. And it wasn't even, like, not tasteful. It's, like, very tasteful, too. So, totally just, like, blew up a portion. But it's just, it's fun to think there's some, like, old prude somewhere that was like, no! You can't show this.
I won't have it.
Well, it's all like the white parents in Los Angeles who like run the probably the MPAA who are just like,
yeah, 80-year-old Jews.
Yeah. You can blow his brains out for fine, but boobies, no.
This poster is sin. Well, that's the point. No, too much sin. That poster is too much sin. Too much sin for Sin City. Holy shit.
So, anyway, that's also August. So, August is like a jam-packed month this summer between Sin City and November Man and Expendables 3 and Guardians of the Galaxy and all sorts of other movies coming out, so get ready for that. And then, last thing is that, actually, right before we started the podcast, the trailer for Turtle Power came out, which is going to be, actually, also August. It's actually going to come out, like, a couple days after the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles movie, but it's going to be a documentary about pretty much the entire history of the Ninja Turtles, like, how they got created and toys and the comics and the cartoon and the movies and everything. So it looks pretty awesome. I know we're a fan of like pop culture documentaries here. So,
oh yeah.
And they're actually gonna talk to like Eastman and Laird and a bunch of like super fans and like a bunch of like celebrities and stuff. So
can't go wrong with that.
Looks pretty awesome. Hopefully Vanilla Ice will show up at some point and just talk about how you create ninja rap. Maybe they can get Partners in Crime. Oh man, they should get Partners in Crime to make a new Turtle Power 2014 remix.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
It's the perfect time to do it. It's the 30th anniversary of Ninja Turtles. So anyway, moving on to other news. Probably the biggest thing this week is not movie-related, it's video game-related, because E3 is happening as we speak. And we had the big four press conferences on Monday, and Nintendo on Tuesday. Did you guys watch those press conferences, or did you see anything that was, like, really stand out to you as, like, awesome?
Not really. I mean, nothing that really like blew my mind or anything. I mean, you know, Assassin's Creed, I'm just over at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like I really am.
It's a four-player co-op now.
It doesn't matter because I don't play co-op.
In the French Revolution.
It doesn't matter because I don't play co-op.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, I make a good standalone like story that isn't just like leading us down dark hallways over and over. Like, at some point, they're going to have to flesh out and, like, really develop their story and not just keep having, like, you know, like, it's so obvious to me that all the different, like Ubisoft offices are so, like, fragmented, you know what I mean? Like, they're so compartmentalized where it's like, oh, this story that was developed by this team, I guess, sort of loosely fits into the greater Assassin's Creed story being told.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's just at a certain point, they're going to have to, like, stop running and, like, get their fucking shit together and, like, put an end to this story. Or at least, you know, explain something. It's just too much. Arkham Knight looks good.
The gameplay demo they showed was awesome, where it's like, the Batmobile turns into a tank.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm worried about, to be honest with you. Like, I know everyone's all happy about the Batmobile, but, like, I'm just afraid that it's going to be like, I don't want this to turn into fucking Twisted Metal, you know?
Like, that's the only thing. If Batman's, like, always confirming if these tanks are non-operated by humans all the time, you know, it's like,
well, yeah.
Oracle, scan the tanks!
It's like, as a human, what do I do?
I have to save the city, but hold on, I need to, like, blow up all these tanks with rocket-propelled grenades really quick.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was a little weird, where it's like, you got shit to do. Fuck this one man in this tank. That he's a tank. You can kill him. Like, go fight him. Like, just don't. It's like, what happens when like there's someone inside? You just, you don't fight him. You just run away.
Use EMP grenades or something.
it seems so like, I don't want to I like driving missions, but I don't want like the Twisted Metal where it's like I'm killing this Marin. Like well, even if you're like a passive,
I think they
what if like a.
I think this in the trail like it was like there's something about like Arkham Knight is like has this like a drone army or something or like a drones.
Yeah, drones city. Are popular. Yeah. So, you know, they'll be in this, of course. And I'm just like, where are all the people in this giant city that aren't on the street that are trying to, like, to fight Batman all the time?
There's a curfew in place. Can't be on the street.
Right. At a certain point, they're just going to have to start making NPCs.
Yeah.
I'll leave Gotham. Like, I don't know why people still, like, live in the city, which every 4 years, a major catastrophe that involves your street. You know? Because isn't the same island that just was a prison a few years ago?
Yeah.
So now I'm just like...
It's also the same city that got turned into a giant prison.
Yeah, and it's a giant prison. Now it's, like, converted back to normal city.
Yeah.
And it's, like, really lush, the city. If you, like, saw the screenshots and stuff, it's, like, way more expansive and detailed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, oh, this was a prison, and they just, like, cleaned it up. That's pretty good. And then now it's like, nope, now it's tank battles everywhere.
There's also Rise of the Tomb Raider, the new next Tomb Raider game, which is that title is like the stupidest title I've ever heard.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. I like cool. the trailer though. I mean, yeah. I like the story that they're trying to tell, or at least the direction that they seem to be going, where she's actually going to be reading tombs this time around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and not just like born.
And not just like the island, it has me.
I had a kill.
Yeah.
I've only played the first maybe half an hour of Tomb Raider, the new one, since like Black Friday of last year.
Yeah, so it's pretty badass. I won't lie to you.
Yeah, Lara gets the shit kicked out of her in that game.
Yeah.
It just seemed like
that. Almost raped a lot. You know?
But then in the game, she's just like straight up just like murdering everyone and be like, come get me!
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying like, it seemed like, she doesn't, like, have that whiny tone, like, oh my god, why does this happen to me? Like, now she's full, like, Lara Croft from, like, Tomb Raider 1.
Right.
Well, by the end of the first one, she's, like, straight up, like, executing guys with, like, her climbing axe. Yeah. Like,
right, well, at least like, there's... like, they show her, like, they shoot the guy in the back of the head, like, with the arrow. Like, yeah. It's not like, oh my god, how am I gonna get past him? She's like, oh, watch this. Fucking
right, dude. You know, she, instead of being, like, can you imagine if Uncharted had that, like, prequel scene where it's, like, Drake's first kill or whatever, or, like, just, like, his first thief, like, theft. Mm-hmm. And it totally breaks the immersion, but...
In 3, there's a flashback to, like, when he's, like, a kid.
Well, yeah, when he steals the like, key thing. But yeah. Here, it's, like, I don't need to do that BS anymore, because we know the backstory. We know she's been through a thing, so she's just, like, again, like you said, like, she just, like, walks up to a person, just will stab him.
She's wearing a hoodie now, guys.
Well, hoods are in.
She's listening to Eminem, wearing a hoodie.
She's beatboxing in alleyways.
Yeah. And speaking of Uncharted 4 got announced. Uncharted 4,
you know it's coming.
Which, apparently, Nathan Drake's been out of the game.
Oh, God. I don't know what that means. You got married, and that's
out of you've been out of the game, kid.
I actually, you know, is it bad? I kind of want a game of just Sully than Drake now.
Yeah, he's more interesting.
There should be at least a level where you control Sully.
Yeah.
There's like a cutscene, like a mini game of smoking cigars, hitting on women. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Far Cry 4.
Yeah, well, that looks awesome, actually.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
It's in the Himalayas. You're going to have a wingsuit, climbing axe, like, you can climb mountains and, like, jump down on people, and you can ride elephants and, like, smash elephants through, like, village gates and kill people with them, and...
Yeah, I played Far Cry 3 for a long fucking time over the summer. Like, I really enjoyed that game.
Did you play Blood Dragon?
I didn't.
Oh, my God.
It was good though.
It is. It's like literally like that and Broforce. Like if ever they actually made a game, it'd be that.
Did they actually put dinosaurs in it, or was that just like the internet trolling me?
It's blood dragons, and they're giant. They're dragons with laser eyes.
That's awesome.
And then all the animals are cyber. So there's like cyber tigers and cyber sea turtles and cyber sharks.
Cyber sea turtles. Dude, the first time I got attacked by a shark in that fucking game, I screamed like a little bitch. I really did. Because I was like, oh, let me look both ways. No, shark dove underwater, turned to the left, and I just saw like an open mouth coming at me. I was like, aye.
But I live to tell the tale.
And trying to think what else.
The Super Mario Maker actually looks pretty cool. Like, in concept, if nothing alone. Come on, that's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Like, and no one's making games like this.
It's cool that you can, like, flip back and forth between, like, the new Super Mario Brothers and the old Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, that's cool.
They announced Pac-Man and, I think it's, like, Lady Petaluna or whatever for Smash Brothers. Which Pac-Man looks awesome. Like Pac-Man has like
yeah,
he's like all he has Namco powers, cool. So he basically just like throws like Galaga sprites at people and like Inky and Blinky, like all the ghosts come out and like start attacking people.
People are making it seem like this is the first time Pac-Man's been in a fighting game. It's not.
Yeah, what's that weird
Street Fighter versus Tekken? He was in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Wow.
So it was like Fat Mega Man.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what the was it Virtual Fighter that had, like, the Daytona USA car?
Was it?
You guys remember
that? I
totally
forgot.
You could play as, like, the Daytona USA car. And fight people.
I mean, I actually might buy the Wii U bundle, where it's, like, you buy the console, the game, and, like, a controller all in one for, like... Mm. Mm-hmm. $300, so I'm like, all right, that's not too bad. I'm really more excited for like the peripheral that they're making, where it's just like they have the GameCube controller for it,
mm-hmm.
and they like release that because a lot of people were like, we can officially mod a GameCube controller to use it. People were like, okay, and then some company was like, why don't we just make our own and like we'll make like more money, and then they just like, yep, okay, that works.
Mm-hmm.
So I was more excited about that official release.
Oh, I think my favorite trailer, even though I'm probably never going to play the game, is the Dead Rising 3.
The DLC.
The Capcom DLC. It's like super, super ultra hyper mega Dead Rising 3 alpha remix, hyper remix edition / tournament fighter or something. It's basically just all, you can just like dress the characters up in like Street Fighter costumes and like Street Fighter moves and kill people, zombies with them.
I have not heard good things about Dead Rising 3, though. I heard it's, like, 4 hours long.
Yeah. Sunset Overdrive looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Division, we saw it last year, but it still looks pretty cool. And then also Tom Clancy, the Rainbow Six Siege.
Wait, they're... making another Rainbow Six?
Yeah, oh. Rainbow Six Siege.
I thought Rainbow Six, what was it called? Siege? It was the one with, like, the terrorists are domestic.
Well, there's the Vegas ones.
No, but not Vegas, but it was just, I thought it was called Rainbow Six. I didn't know they were going to call it Rainbow Six Siege.
Well, okay. And they had, like, it was a multiplayer game match where, it was like five terrorists took a hostage, and the Rainbow Six team had to like go in and rescue the hostage. And like you can basically like blow up the entire wall, like it was in like this, like, basically a normal like 2-story house, but they were like blowing up the walls and like blowing up the floors, like get at each other. Trying to think if there's anything else. If you want to go, like, I put up pretty much all the trailers from all the press conferences up on the site, so if you want to check those out, just search for E3 2014, or just go in the trailer park section and look at those. And if anything else happens in, like, by the time, by the end of the week. We'll put those up on the Facebook page and Twitter page as well, probably. One more thing. Did you guys see the Mortal Kombat X gameplay?
I did.
Where just the fatalities are just, like, so fucking over the top.
I like the brutalities are back.
Well, the main one I saw was, like, Sub-Zero, where, like, he freezes your chest, explodes it, grabs your spine, rips your spine in half, and then puts you over his head and rips you in half. And I guess
To go back a little bit, before Siege, it was originally called Patriots. That's why I was confused. And that actually made more sense. And now I'm like, okay, Siege, whatever, generic.
Mm-hmm. And one of the Mortal Kombat characters is going to be Cassie Cage, who's like Johnny Cage and Sonya Blade's daughter.
Oh, they finally did it.
Yep.
I kind of like the love being tragic or like non-existing.
And not tragic in the sense that he got his neck snapped by Shao Kahn.
Yeah. In the first 5 seconds of the movie.
Yeah. Johnny, no!
And it wasn't even the same actor. They hired a lookalike.
Yeah. Why wouldn't the original actor, if you're going to kill the original actor, why don't you just like come back for a day and get your neck snapped and then go home?
Go get lunch, get your neck snapped, then leave.
Yeah.
No idea.
So, anyway, moving on to other news. We've learned who our kingpin's going to be for the Daredevil Netflix show, and it's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Good choice.
Mm-hmm. First thing I will go to every time I hear his name is Edgar from Men in Black. But he's probably, I think, with Law & Order, he's in Law & Order Criminal Intent, I think, or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And also Full Metal Jacket.
I remember him more, I think, from The Cell, where he was like the serial killer psychopath that Jennifer Lopez had entered his brain.
But yeah, I definitely think he would make a pretty awesome kingpin.
Yeah,
bald cap, fat suit. He's there. Hopefully we'll see something from that I don't know if they're filming it right now or I don't know, but hopefully we'll get a trailer. I want to kind of see something from that hopefully soon. It's coming out early next year, I think, right, on Netflix?
Allegedly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, other Marvel news, we finally have a new director for Ant-Man after Ant-Gate thing that happened the last couple weeks. Peyton Reed, who is not even one of the shortlist people or anything, is going to be directing right now. He is the director of Yes Man, and also I think Bring It On.
Okay.
So I don't I don't think this is gonna be as visually interesting anymore or fast paced or witty as if Evan Wright was gonna be doing it, but hopefully it's just gonna be it's gonna be just a solid Marvel movie.
It's gonna be Iron Man of just moving straight along, no cutaways, no visual gags.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't have that much, he's not a super powerful director, so Marvel's gonna be do what we tell you.
Yeah, I can see that.
We'll bury you in the Disney parking lot.
He doesn't have a unique style enough to be no, this is my vision, and keep it strong. It's gonna be okay, what do you need, Masters?
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what happens.
Yep.
Maybe halfway through he'll leave and someone else will step in.
Yeah.
Who knows at this point?
But it's really terrible when Edgar Wright walked away because he's they wanted it to be one giant product placement.
Mm-hmm. For, like, Avengers 3 or something, probably.
Probably just, like, a giant Coke commercial or something.
We gotta go steal the formula for Coke, Ant-Man.
Form is so hard. It's even harder to get than an Infinity Stone. Like, oh.
So other Disney news. Really bizarre announcement from Disney this week. They're gonna be doing a Lion King sequel series cartoon on Disney Channel that is gonna follow Simba and Nala's son. And apparently he's gonna be like leading like a team. He's kind of like a, I think he's like a teenager or a tween or something, but he's like leading this team of like animals that patrols like the outer edges of the Pride Lands.
So that's weird.
And he's got a tattoo, and he's got like a red mohawk. He's like, so he's like extreme.
Oh, I know. You see the picture, it just seems like some fan redrew Simba, and you're like,
yeah,
okay,
like someone on DeviantArt was like,
it does. And then it was like, this is official. Like, what? No.
Yeah.
Why?
It's gonna have a made for TV movie to launch it, and then it's gonna be a regular cartoon after that. And they're like, it's Lion King meets the Avengers.
I someone described that, and I was like, you have no idea what those words mean, do you?
Yeah, you need to stop fucking talking.
One of the Disney executives was like, yeah, it's like Lion King meets the Avengers. Meets Star Wars.
Meets fucking shoot yourself.
Yeah.
Meets a pile of money.
Yeah.
It sounds like the South Park trailer for the Rob Schneider movie.
Yeah. Yep.
And he's finding out that being a lion is harder than it looks.
And so they will have Simba and Nala's daughter from Lion King 2, who I guess will be like this like character. It's gonna be like, so this kid is gonna be, his name's Keon, and then he's like the younger brother to Kiara, who is the daughter from Lion King 2. And there's gonna be like Timon and Pumbaa and Rafiki and Zazu and other people are going to show up from Lion King. And then his team, like, so Keon's team is going to be, there's a honey badger. There
Does
is...
he take any shit?
He's a fearless honey badger. I don't know if he takes shit or not, but...
Oh. I don't know if he takes shit or not.
There's a cheetah. That's awesome. There's a hippo. And there's an egret.
Mmm.
You know, the lion would fuck up most of those animals.
Yeah, the lion eats everything. Spoiler.
Except for, like, possibly the cheetah.
Yeah. Like, maybe honey, because he can't catch that. But I'm just like, he would never be friends with his food like this.
Yeah.
Like, we all saw the honest trailer about The Lion King, right?
Yep.
So, like, it was so surprising. Like, the next day they announced this, and I was like, oh my god.
I think it was the same day.
Oh my, it's even... That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. But, yeah, it just totally, like, ruins the whole, you know, and especially when they're ignoring the Lion King and a Half, one and a half, and then Lion King 2.
Everyone ignores that, Chris.
But, like, it's not bad, even though they don't want to admit that Lion King 2, like, it's Simba's stepchild. No, it's Simba's half-child, or Scar's half-child. It's
well,
like,
quote-unquote evil kid is, like, Scar's son.
Kid, and then... Like, Simba's... Yeah, I mean, that's why they didn't want to get too incesty, because it got really deep.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Scar's kid and Simba's daughter hook up, and it's like, isn't that, like, your cousin? No one's saying that? Alright, you know, that still exists, like, cousins and animals.
Whatever, bro.
That's how real lions work. There's yeah, one male for, like, 20 females.
Yeah, they didn't want to mention that either, where it's like, Nala could be Simba's half-sister. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
It's all good, bro.
So, other news. So, Miller and Lord, who are the team behind 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street, Lego Movie, they're doing the press for 22 Jump Street this week, and I guess one of them, they mentioned that they want to do a Clone High movie, which was their first project they ever did. And they probably could do it now because they're like the hottest comedy team in like Hollywood right now. So I'm sure they could be like, we'll make 23 Jump Street if we get to make a clone movie, Clone High movie.
Yeah, now they're holding it hostage.
Yeah. Or like Lego Movie 2, I mean, we're signed on for that, but who knows if it's going to be good or not.
Hey, how about more Lego stuff, less father-son stuff? Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Don't even start, Chris.
Fuck you, Lego Movie. Breaking my immersion.
It's going to be pick of the week next week, and there's nothing you can do about it, Chris. So, there's also going to be, in comic book news, there's going to be a new RoboCop series. Boom Studios picked up the rights. And actually, just last week, they actually put out issue one of Big Trouble in Little China, which was amazing. It's like, basically, it picks up immediately after Big Trouble in Little China leaves off. And so it's basically the probably the only sequel we'll ever get for Big Trouble in Little China. But they're gonna, so it's going to be a, they're going to retcon pretty much everything but the original movie. And so this is going to pick up after the first movie.
Wait, there was more stuff after that movie?
Like the TV shows and RoboCop 2, RoboCop 3, the cartoons.
Oh, okay. I thought they were picking up like right after the reboot.
Oh no, this is old school. Peter Weller RoboCop, 80s RoboCop.
Okay, I see. Like even the comic people know that the new movie like was not something that was gonna have more of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of didn't mind if they did a RoboCop comic based on the universe they set up in the movie.
Well, I think it was IDW who just did it was RoboCop Last Stand, which I think was like Frank Miller's original idea for RoboCop 3 or like a RoboCop 2 possibly, where it's like RoboCop is like basically fighting a guerrilla war against OCP and like protecting this like one city block that needs to get demolished before they can build New Detroit or whatever they're building.
That they never built.
Yeah.
That city, after so many years, needs a new reboot. I don't know why, like, they keep fighting to keep it shitty.
I'm just taking a look, because I think, seeing what else Boom has been doing. They've been doing a bunch, they're starting to get more and more, movie licenses. But yeah. They also do the Adventure Time comics. They did Two Guns, the original comic for Two Guns. Like, the 28 Days Later comic.
That was a 28 Days Later comic?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
So yeah, I'll definitely check out the first issue and keep an eye on pull list for that one. I think it's coming out, like it's gonna start next September, I think, this new series. So keep checking the site for that one. And then last bit of news is that Jeremy Renner confirmed he's gonna be back for Mission Impossible 5. So right now it's Tom Cruise, Simon Pegg, and Jeremy Renner returning for Mission Impossible 5.
Good.
And he's be doing it basically as soon as he's done with Bourne, the next Bourne movie, he's going right over to Mission Impossible 5.
It's nice because I kind of want to see. They were so setting up Jeremy Renner to be the new Ethan.
Yeah.
Hunt and like Tom Cruise, like, nope, I'll be back. Mm-hmm. Totally not done yet. And like they just delayed it until he was ready. So. I guess now they're just like, okay, at least Jeremy Renner is like, I'll be back. Like I loved it. I kind of want to see the cast from Mission Impossible 4 come back just for, like, a scene or something.
Well, I mean, this is the cast from Mission Impossible 4, Chris.
Oh, okay, 3.
Yeah, 3. Well, Ving Rhames hopefully will have a bigger role than just the cameo he had in the Ghost Protocol.
Right.
What was like Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is like the helicopter pilot?
I didn't mind him. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Maggie Q.
Ugh. Just have her back. She was big for like a bit, and she just hasn't done anything yet. She was in Divergent, but whatever.
She had that Nikita show.
Yeah, she was just, like, sexy on the, like, all the, like, commercials. But when you watch it, you're like, oh, it's not really about her. It's about, like, her, like, replacement.
Mm-hmm. They just have, like, an expendable style of, like, just bring everyone from Mission Impossible's, all of them back. Literally every team member.
Yeah. I even bring back, like,
bring back, like, Tandy Newton.
From, like, the first movie?
The second that was one.
Oh. No. Who cares? I actually didn't really care for her character too much. She just was a walking virus.
Well, everyone in one was a traitor except for Ving Rhames. So...
No, those were the declassified people, they were the not-less people, right? The people that were just, like, not on the, that were, like, let go.
Well, like Ethan assembled his team, and it was, like, Jean Reno, who was evil.
Evil, yeah.
And then
Vin Rhames was a hacker.
Yeah.
That was, like, a blacklisted hacker or something like that.
Like, Kristen Scott Thomas, who I think, she got killed by John Voight, I think.
Yeah, she was super evil, too.
Yeah.
I kind of want to know what they do with
who got killed by an elevator.
I totally forget he's in that.
Yeah.
And all the other people that just died in the beginning.
I don't think Emilio Estevez is even credited in Mission Impossible 1.
He just showed up for lunch, got paid for one scene, and never talked about it again.
Yep.
But I'm talking about just like all the directors of MI5, or MI.
Yeah, bring Lawrence Fishburne back.
Lawrence Fishburne, even the people like from the first movie that were just wearing trench coats all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just some sort of...
Where's Anthony Hopkins?
Anthony Hopkins! He was basically just like Odin.
Yeah.
Just showed up and was like, hey, I need you to handle this virus.
I'm the voice of your tapes.
Like, he met Ethan at weird places during Mission Impossible 2.
They don't even explain, like, who... Like, he's not, like, a... Like, an IMF director or anything. He's just, like, a random dude. He's like the man in the shadows. Who's like,
I assumed he was higher up, but like, because only the way how he's presented,
he's not even like Nick Fury of like IMF. No,
he doesn't carry a gun. He doesn't wear a suit. They meet at weird like non traditional places.
He shows up and is like, Ethan, you must do this for me. He's like, okay.
And then at the end, they're like staring at a bonfire together.
Because then in three, it's like basically IMF is like CTU, where it's like there's actually like directors of it and agents of it, and like they have offices
and there's people running around with like paperwork.
Yeah,
no, I get that, but now I'm just like,
trust Ethan Hunt again, just like Jack Bauer, like no one believes Ethan Hunt.
But unlike Jack Bauer, Ethan Hunt doesn't always like fuck up everyone's day. He just happens to be in like a bad situation, you know.
They think he's a mole and like the
first all the movies except for two. I think two is the only one they just went, yep, you're like totally clear for anything now. Right? Isn't 2 the only movie where they don't think he's a traitor?
Yeah, I think, like, he's kind of, like, off the books a little bit, I think, of it. Because, like, Anthony Hopkins is like, there's a rogue IMF agent, go stop him.
Don't become rogue yourself.
Stop Chimera. Yeah, so anyway, that's coming out next Christmas, I believe. So it's going to be right alongside episode 7. So it's going to be a pretty big competition next year. And that's going to be it for news this week. I don't know if there's anything else you guys can think of we need to talk about.
All right. I don't think so.
So moving on to newest roundup and our pick of the week. Pretty solid releases this week, but our pick of the week is going to be True Detective Season 1. One of the best shows ever. Chris, you watched all of it, right?
Yep.
Joe,
who is the Yellow King?
I haven't seen it yet.
Done that as soon as possible, Joe.
Cool.
Because once you do, we can start yabbering about it, about small inside jokes or whatnot.
Yeah, we can start doing Russ Cole impressions and doing like Russ Cole quotes.
I really want to do Yellow King impressions, where he just rambles about family and shit.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's gonna, like, I have no idea how they're gonna top this, like, the second season, which has, like, the weird trio of people, like, and there's no way that Matthew McConaughey is not winning an Emmy next year. Like, it's basically impossible. Like, if he doesn't win, they're gonna, like, people, Los Angeles is gonna riot, and, like, they're gonna burn down the theater. Super, super close second for Pick of the Week is Cosmos, which just wrapped up on Sunday. Like, just mind-blowing, amazing science happening on that show. Do you guys watch any of it? Have you seen any episodes?
Yeah, I fizzled out, like, 5 episodes in. Because when it stopped being about, like, evolution and, like, the Big Bang and stuff, it got a little bit weird.
Oh, I love the fact that they highlighted scientists that you've never heard of in school, but then they're, like literally the most important people on the planet. Like, Claire Peterson, who, A, figured out how old the Earth is, and then, B, figured out how deadly lead was, and he's like basically fighting the lead syndicates to like get lead out of everything. He had like basically go across the entire planet and like prove that lead is like way higher now, like was way higher in the 50s than it was in like 100 years earlier. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like that should be like. They should just play that in schools for, like, a science class instead of trying to teach the kids anything. They'll learn way more from Cosmos. Nonstop's also this week. Which I think, Joe, you and I both saw that, right?
Sure did.
Super, like, really, like, fun, awesome Liam Neeson, like, murder mystery on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
With Liam Neeson being, the most grizzled air marshal in movie history. Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruits also this week, which was okay. I would say probably worth a rent if you want to like grab it from like Redbox or something or Netflix. It's just a solid like spy action movie. It's not like the mind blowing like reboot of Jack Ryan or anything like. I'd be shocked if we got another Jack Ryan movie on that, but for what it is, it's decent. Ray Donovan season 1's out this week.
Good show.
Transformers Animated, the complete series. Which I think was like on the Hub or something. Bushido Man, 7 Deadly Battles. Spike Lee Joint Collection, number 1, on Blu-ray. You get 25th Hour and He Got Game. Batista, The Animal Unleashed.
Nice. I'll be watching that.
Chris, Resilient Isle Season 4 is out this week.
Ooh, they finally get together.
They're laying on a picnic basket and laying on a picnic blanket in the cover.
How are they not like just if they were a lesbian couple, it would be no surprise and it would be like accepted by now. But I don't know what the hell they're doing.
There's also Fractured, which is looks like some random action movie or horror movie starring Vinnie Jones.
We're not sure what it is.
Bigfoot versus D.P. Cooper.
Excuse me?
Bigfoot vs. D.B. Cooper. That's the name of this movie.
Isn't D.B. Cooper the guy that jumped out of an airplane?
Yes. He sure is.
And, like, disappeared?
The best, like thief in history.
I want to see that.
And also have, also on TNT, Major Crime Season 2, which is the weird, like, Closer spinoff that doesn't have the Closer in it.
Nice.
100 Greatest Martial Arts Movies isn't, like, a giant box set you can get this week. Has a bunch of Bruce Lee movies, Sonny Chiba movies, some, like, blaxploitation kung fu movies.
I love it.
And there's also a 100 cult movie collection as well this week.
Hmm.
that has, like, I'm trying to see if there's any I recognize on this list, but, a lot of weird, random 70s grindhouse movies, it looks like. My Mom's a Werewolf.
Jesus Christ.
It looks like a lot of, like, movies that, like, Mr. Cinema Theater would have riffed on.
Of course.
And that's going to be it. So, why don't we get into show and tell? And, Joe, what have you been watching over the last week or so?
Oh, boy. So, over the last week, I haven't really watched too much, but I did see Monuments Men.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed this movie. And I wasn't, not that I, like, wasn't looking forward to seeing it. I don't know. It looked like a solid ensemble cast. It looked like a decently intriguing plot. And overall, I would say it didn't disappoint. I thought it was a really solid movie. I mean, I thought personally that Bill Murray and John Goodman were pretty much the highlights of this movie for me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, George Clooney was solid, but he's George Clooney. Like, he wasn't. I mean, he could have been Danny Ocean. He could have been Bruce Wayne. He could have been the doctor from ER. I mean, there's basically, like, as with most George Clooney roles, there's just no differentiation, like, whatsoever. It's like, oh, he's playing a suave, sly older man.
He's wearing a military uniform this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this one, he's got a mustache.
Yep.
That's different.
I do like that he's basically Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
like he's like an art professor.
Yeah. I'll give you that. That was cool. That was cool. And again, like I loved the plot, and I thought that this was a great sort of like caper movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not really. I mean, it is, but it's hard to call it a war movie. You know, even though they do deal with like you know the idea of loss and like why are we fighting this war and like we're not so different, you and I. Like there are some really great moments in this movie.
And a few of the Monuments Men do get killed, so...
Yeah, well, that's...
Stakes are high, even though they're, like, running
around. Spoiler alert, yeah.
They're running around trying to, like, save, like, statues and paintings and stuff. They're, like, still,
sure,
like,
the stakes are high, still and it's still war, but at the end of the day, it still feels kind of like a adventure movie and not, like, a war movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it does have some great moments in it. I was a fan of the ending, also, like, with the Russians at the end, like, with the American flag. Like, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The
only thing that was like, I thought it was awesome too, but the only thing that's weird, kind of weird, is like, it has these like really abrupt shifts of like wacky comedy to like deadly serious.
Yes.
Like, just,
yeah,
it's like,
to, like Bill Murray crying in a shower. Like,
yeah. Well, or it's like Bill Murray, it's like a cut from like a Bill Murray. Oh, the big scene is like when Matt Damon is like on the landmine, they have like that wacky, like, oh, is this going to work? I don't know. Let's get Matt Damon's landmine. And then cut to like next scene is like, oh my God, there's a barrel of gold teeth.
They came out of people.
These Nazi
bastards. And then, hey, we found all this Nazi gold. Yay! Yeah, so again, overall, really enjoyed this movie. I would highly recommend it. There has to be at least someone in the cast you like, you know? Like, and if there's not, I mean, who do you like?
Yeah.
You know? What exactly are your standards, pray tell?
Jean Dujardin.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, definitely check out Monuments Men. I feel like I saw other stuff, but I don't really think I did. It's probably not worth mentioning. So, that's going to do it for me.
Are you caught with Fargo?
No. No, I am not. I'm an episode and a half behind.
A half episode behind.
I watched half of the episode on my DVR.
Okay.
The
one from 2 weeks ago?
An episode and a half behind.
Yeah, this is too strange for the day. I'm just turning it off.
No, I had like I had to go to work. I was watching it in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's a weird show to watch in the morning, I think.
I mean, I'm not one of these crazy SSRI shooter types who can't differentiate between fiction and reality and is going to go into work and be like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, murder my boss, you know? Oh, like.
No, it's awesome. And something happens, and like, I think if you're halfway through the episode, I'm sure it's going to happen like within like a few minutes of you picking it back up, Joe, but like crazy like shift happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited.
So, Chris, what are you watching?
The usual. Starting to catch up on Arrow. Mm-hmm. Starting to catch up on Justify. Starting to catch up on Parks and Rec. So I'm trying to finish off like all of the Parks and Recs on Netflix because they only have like season 5, and the next season is like the last season. So I should be ready for that. Justified. They're still fighting. They're still trying to get to Bubba. I still haven't finished that season yet. So. And for like stuff that like we both watch, so Game of Thrones, it's like Game of Thrones is the only show I watch like every Sunday now. Mm-hmm. So I've been watching that. Last episode, the most expensive episode so far from what I heard.
Yep.
Yeah. But someone who's not really aware, it's just like it all takes place in one giant ice block set, and there's all these like cool battle potential scenes that they just don't really use. You know, they just
it was like a scouting battle, basically.
Yeah, it's like
they're testing that's what fences, according to Jon Snow.
So, maybe the next episode would be, and then like when I hear like that was the most expensive, I'm like, so all that probably went to CG work and just paying the extras to stand there and yell.
Yeah, well, I read like the giants are actually like, it was like an actual 7'7" dude that they just like dressed up as a giant. It wasn't CG.
Oh, that's cool. That I respect. Like, it's well shot. Like, yeah. Don't get me wrong about that. But
well, it's the Neil Marshall episode for the year, so he always comes in and just like drops like a massive battle and then leaves.
He takes up half the year's budget just to like mock up a fight.
Well, so it's probably the only battle in like the entire book that is described, so. Because I haven't read the books yet, but, like, apparently in the books, like, it's, like, always picks up, like, before battle or after battle. There's never, like, really any, like, except for, like, Blackwater in this one, it's, like, not, never really, like, this, like, you're not never in really a full battle. So, yeah, like, ends the chapter with, like, beginning the battle, and then, like, next chapter's, like, and then the battle ended.
So, it's nice. It's a very important scene. I wish there was more, like, not to spoil so much, but I wish there was more interactions between two key characters before, like, what happens. Because, mm-hmm. like, a lot of people die, but I just kind of wish there was more, like, build up or just some sort of, like, hey, I miss you. Like, nothing.
Well, apparently, like, for season finale next week, apparently, like, pretty much everyone's going to die.
Oh, season finale's next week?
Yep. Really? Everyone's going to die on Game of Thrones? That's weird.
Yeah, shocking. So they write it upbeat.
They write it well for these, like, moments. And they catch you off guard sometimes. But this one, it's like, I kind of suspected something was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when it does, it's like, oh, okay. I wasn't, like, not ready for this. But I was kind of, like, hoping there'll be more buildup.
Yeah. Well, according to my friend Gio, who's, like, the Game of Thrones expert, they've been, like, all the crazy stuff from the books has been basically they've been keeping it for the season finale, like massive deaths and like crazy twists and stuff. That's all, like in the books they happened way earlier, like
probably during like side chapters or something, like just something to filler where it's like, well, then this character died, so that's why you don't see in this like scene.
Yeah, so they're probably saving it for this last episode, and then like it's gonna be like 45-minute reaction videos on YouTube of just like the entire episode.
I kind of like when it's paced out like that. So now, like, the ending's one giant, like, soap opera giant death scene, you know? I kind of like the idea where, like, every episode is an important episode. Because, like, you know, prior to the Viper in the Mountain fight, like, the prior fight was that prior episode wasn't that important. That episode was important though, the Mountain of the Viper.
Mm-hmm.
And then this episode, I'm like, okay, we're not going to address any of that. All right, let's just. Oh, it's Jon Snow's episode. Okay. So, I'm always excited for that,
mm-hmm.
but I'm always like on the fence about if it's going to be it's never going to be Red Wedding for me again. But it's going to be like close to it.
There was some awesome stuff that happened this season. So.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we can't talk about it just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are flipping the shit if you mention anything Game of Thrones related.
Yeah! Spoilers!
Granted, the books and movies, I mean, the books and TV shows are kind of different, so.
Yeah, I guess they're doing stuff out of order and they're, like, changing things from the books. Kind of like, only not to the level of, like, Walking Dead, which is, just, like, completely different now, but.
Yeah, they just want. They drove off the road from that script. But,
They're hitting only, like, the most, like most key events are, like,
yes.
is, like, happening in Walking Dead. But everything else is, like, totally different.
Yeah. I mean, the Game of Thrones, there's a lot of, like, all this super context from behind the scene, which, like, only your friend Gio, like, explained it to me in such a fast pace. I'm like, so if I had to read that, that's, like, 8 chapters?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, thank you.
Well, I guess this season is, like, the second half of book 3 plus book 4 plus book 5.
And then after that, it's like you're on track with the book that's not even finished yet.
I guess, yeah. Because I guess like Daenerys doesn't show up at all in season 3, book 3, or like only in like very sporadically, so that's like they had to like take things from 4 and 5 to like make sure she was in it.
So, and the last thing I watched, which turned out to be, I always forget how long these are. It's the Sherlock Holmes season 3, movie 1.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I finally watched that.
It's Eidos Netflix. You can watch yep. series 3.
Totally a weird like reintroduction again. Because yeah. it's like all these fan theories they're putting together. Like the top 2 fan theories plus the actual like
maybe
because they don't really confirm it.
Yeah,
so that was kind of interesting.
And it's just the entire episode just like Sherlock just fucking with Watson.
Yeah, I don't know why Watson's still friends with this guy after like everything. I was like, I'm glad that you're back, but you're a dick. Like, this is why we're not friends a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Or a gay couple. I kind of like the idea if they were a gay couple, it'd be like a lot better.
You should definitely need to watch the last two, like, those are 2 episodes sometime, Chris, because, like, 2 is, like, just the most, it's, like, just super wacky, like, it's, like, Watson's wedding. It's just, like, this is wacky British comedy happening, along with, like, flashbacks of things that never happened and stuff.
That's cool.
And last episode has, like, last episode is awesome, because it has, like, an awesome villain, and then it sets up things up for, like, the crazy series 4 that's coming.
Like 2 episodes or something.
Yeah, 3 episodes for a season. Those crazy Brits.
These crazy Brits are just like, well, it's technically like an hour and a half each episode. So only like 3 episodes.
That's like 6 episodes of like regular TV.
Yeah, that's like a mini series, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like they promote this like an actual like series.
Well, I mean, they call it series, so which is like a season, but yeah, it's like it's more like a mini series every year, so.
But it's good. It's definitely worth watching. It's very like it's way better than it's just Elementary.
Yeah.
Elementary though has gotten dark, and I'm like, I'm really bored because like every episode. See, that's the other thing. Do you want more focus but less quantity Sherlock, or do you want more quantity but less quality Sherlock? And like that's the trade-off here.
Yeah.
Because I think the last I watched an episode of Elementary just passing through was like Moriarty kidnapped Lucy Liu, and I was like, I don't care. I just did not care. So. Anyway, what have you been watching, Zach?
I watched a few things. I had like a weird double feature of wrestling. This past weekend, I watched the history of the WWE documentary that's on Netflix.
Yes.
That, I think came out a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's pretty cool. It's like if you want to get like the basic overview of WWE, it goes pretty much everything, like how it got formed and like all the old school stuff, and then I was actually kind of surprised they got in like the weird, like kind of the weirder stuff of the 90s with like the WCW, WWF stuff, and then like steroids. They actually like there's a pretty hefty section of steroids, which is kind of like crazy for like. Because WWE is like, they could have probably done whenever they wanted with this, because they're documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I guess, like, they get into, like, the whole, like, is it the Montreal screw job?
Sure is.
Yeah, so they actually talk about that, and then how, like, all the old school guys left to go to WCW.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the last 20 minutes of that is definitely just, like, straight up, like, propaganda for WWE. It's just, like...
Yeah, it's terrible.
Look at all of our charity work. Look at all of our social media initiatives we're doing. Look at all our movies. The Rock is the biggest movie star slash wrestler in the world.
We made him. We taught him how to wrestle.
John Cena is awesome.
Did they even talk about, like, the Tough Enough, like, because that used to be their, like, farming program that was, like, a reality TV show?
Yeah,
that was actually not bad.
I think you see like, the some of, like, Next, I think, but that's about it.
Hmm.
And I think it was probably, like, a year or two before they actually, like, patched things up with, like, Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior, because, like, no one mentions them at all. Except,
no.
I think Mean Gene mentions them, like, once. Like, he's the only one who mentions, like, Macho Man.
Oh, it's like, oh, they shared a Slim Jim, they high-fived, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole, like, middle, like, when you talk about, like, 80s and 90s, it's all just, like, Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah. Hulk Hogan, and then it jumps right to The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm. And then The Rock. And then
there's no madness, brother. Was Batista WWF or WCW?
WWF.
Yeah, he's always been.
Mm-hmm. Never been anywhere else except like local promotions.
Mm-hmm. As much like really, really old like matches that you get to see in it, like the Bruno Sammartino.
Oh god, those are like unwatchable. I'm sorry for wrestling purists, but I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
I just fucking can't.
Superstar Graham.
Yeah, Superstar Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, do they go into the Iron Sheik? Because I slowly become more of a fan as I've grown up about him.
They, I mean, he's you see some like it's mainly it's like they when they talk about like the superstars like the huge huge guys.
Oh, not like but like that's what he Hogan fought him and that like made him be like a superstar. Yeah. So that's kind of important.
Like there's a whole section about like Andre the Giant. But I mean they talk to it like there's like talking heads with like a bunch of like the old school guys like I'm trying to think like well like Roddy Ray Piper's there and like Bruno Sammartino's actually there and like yeah Jerry Lawler and like a bunch of other guys are like talking about it so.
Of course.
Snake
of
is
course.
There. So that's pretty cool. And then after that, I had to watch No Holds Barred.
Yeah.
Which is so, so wonderfully insane. It's just like, I don't know how much cocaine was used to make that movie, but it was a lot.
A lot, brother.
Just the whole, like, just the fact that Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan, like, locked themselves in a hotel room and, like, rewrote the entire movie. and then I want to know what the original script was, because, like, it makes no sense now. Like, the original script must have been, like, either, like, I don't even, can't even imagine, like, what the original script was of that movie. But, yeah, it's just, it's so fucking insane. Just, like, it kind of has the same plot as like Last Dragon, a little bit where it's like this like evil like corporate CEO guy is, like, just going to, like, the most extreme measures possible, like, for, like, a, like, the most, like, petty things possible. Like, in Last Dragon, it was, like, trying to get his girlfriend a music video, and he's, like, resorting to, like, murder and, like, kidnapping. And in this, it's, like, trying to get Hulk Hogan's, a.k.a. Rip Thomas, into, like, their weird wrestling program, and then, like, basically almost murdering his brother and, like, sending goons after him because he won't join this TV company.
So their first instinct was to hire, like, an even worse guy?
Well, like,
that they found at a bar?
First, like, he goes to talk about them, like, joining them. He's like, here's a contract, Rip. Join us. Join us, you jackass. And then he's like, I'm not gonna be here. The check clears and, like, forces the check down the guy's throat and then leaves. And then, like, Kurt Fuller has, like, his goons attack him in a limo. It's like, he's not joining us. Kill him.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's real bizarre.
And then he makes up, like, that the battle of the tough guys, and then has, like, Zeus just murder people.
Zeus. Yeah, he's just, like, killing
Zeus.
Dudes.
Rip. And he's just, like, there's so much, like literally every scene in this movie is insane.
I think it reaches, like, an apex when Hogan breaks into the gym.
Yes.
And it's all, like, rigged out.
Yeah,
to just Zeus yelling.
Yeah, just Kurt Fuller, like, not even, just, like, straight up just, like, yelling at Zeus about how terrible he is and how Hulk Hogan, like, murders. Like, it's basically, he's just like, Rip killed your family, Zeus. Rip thinks you're a pussy. You should probably kill Rip. Go to Rip's house and kill him.
If not, find the closest thing that looks like him and break it.
Yeah. And, like, one of my other favorite scenes is, like, when he goes out to dinner with Samantha, who's, like, the corporate spy. And they're just, like, they're straight up in a church. Like, they don't even describe the fact that, they don't even, like, try to hide the fact that it's a church.
Oh, the restaurant church.
Yeah, it's a restaurant church. But, like they're clearly, they're trying to make it, like, a fancy restaurant, but it's, like, just, they just cleared the pews out of the church, and they're eating in a church. Like, the opening shot is, like, the stained glass window, and there's, like, a guy playing a violin in front of it, and then it's, like, cut down to, like, there's still, like, all, like, the church, like, the pew, like, all, everything on the, like, the altar is still up there and stuff. It's like, man, this fancy restaurant sure is fancy. Oh, man, yeah, and then just, like, Zeus, like, paralyzing his brother. Because they go, like, the one fight, and then it's like, oh, you Rip's brother? Welp, you're dead. Oh, man, and Kurt Fuller is fucking amazing in that movie. He's just calling everyone jackass and, like, just yelling at everyone. It's kind of weird, though, because, like, he would, like, he's basically Rob Lowe from Wayne's World, only now, but he's, like, now he's that person, but he became, like, the sidekick in that movie.
Moving up in the world. Or down?
Slightly nicer, I guess, yeah. Yeah, so I watched both of those, and I watched, in theaters, I watched Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Why?
Actually,
oh, yes, because it was awesome.
Excuse me?
Yeah, don't, like, it was, it's probably, like, the dark horse of the summer. Like, there's a couple
minor issues. It's a Tom Cruise movie.
Oh, it's so much fun, and it's, like, so awesome. It had, like, it uses the gimmick, the time travel gimmick, like, just in so many, like, awesome, fun ways of, like, it's basically what you expected it is. It's Groundhog's Day with action. But it's, like, it's way...
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah. It's like, it's way funnier than the trailers make it seem. They use, like, time travel for, like, a bunch of, like, awesome running gags. Bill Paxton is, like, this, like, southern drill sergeant who keeps, like, is, like, super hilarious and, like, just, like, just constantly yelling at everyone. Yeah, but it does a great, like, it does a great job of, like, like, when you get into, like, scenes, it does a great job of, like, making you, like, letting you know if, like, Tom Cruise has been in that situation before or not. And, like, it's, like, a lot of them, like, it's clear he's done this, like, 10 times already. But yeah, so the basic gist of it is that there's an alien invasion happening in Europe, and basically Europe gets, like, wiped out almost. So it's, the U.S. and Britain and, like, Russia are, like, making, like, this, like, one final push to, like, take down the aliens. It's basically like a futuristic D-Day invasion going on. And Tom Cruise is like the kind of like the PR head of the invasion, like basically going on like CNN and like basically talking about how great the military is and like how we're going to kick the aliens' ass. And then they're like, they tell him he's going to have to go in like the beach and like basically like do like propaganda films for them, but like actually be in the action. And he's like, no, because I'm like not even a soldier. And then he's like, He tries to get out of it, and they, like, basically force him to go into battle. And he managed to kill one of the aliens, but it's, like, he gets the blood in his, like, when he kills the alien, like, the blood goes in his mouth, and then that gives him, like, the time travel powers, because the aliens are able to control time. So every time he dies, he goes back to, like, this, like, certain moment, and then it basically relives the day over and over again every time he dies.
So, if he knew the secret of time travel, why doesn't he force more people to get alien blood in their mouths?
Well, I mean, first off, no one believes him because everyone thinks he's crazy. But then he meets Emily Blunt's character, who also had time travel, but then she got injured, but she didn't die in time, so they gave her a blood transfusion, and so she lost the time travel ability, but then she still, like, it was what's going on. So then she and Tom Cruise have to work together. It's like they're trying to find like the Omega alien that is like basically the source of all the time travel.
And if they get their blood in their mouths from him, they can go back to even further.
Well, they want to kill it so that it can't, because the aliens have been resetting time in order to like win the battle. So they know pretty much everything that this invasion is going to do. So the invasion is going to fail literally every time they try it. Unless they kill this alien, and then they'll be able to, like, have the invasion go through with the aliens not knowing what's going to happen in it. But yeah, there's a lot of with Tom Cruise's training, because, like, he doesn't, like, it's the rare movie where he's not, like, full-on Tom Cruise at the beginning, because he's, like, this, like, super cowardly, like, useless person. And he has to, like, train himself to become Tom Cruise. Awesome.
But what was he originally? Was he just, like, a clerical person?
He was a major, but he's just, like, basically a PR propaganda tool guy. He says he used to be an advertising executive, and then the war broke out, and he joined up, and then they made him, like, the talking head for all the news networks and stuff. Like, he just goes out and is basically just, like, trying to, like, recruit people and sell war. Like, basically what they want, like Captain America, and, like, when the beginning of Captain America, but I had him punch Hitler in the face and sell war bonds. Basically what Tom Cruise is doing.
So he's like the Captain America that's really shitty, if you always put in a situation.
Yeah, like, put him in actual, like if you try to put him in actual combat, he's just like, no. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And
all I know how to do is punch Hitler. So.
But yeah, they have awesome mech, like, the mech suits are awesome. And you keep going to, like, going back to, like, the main battle, which is just, like, this crazy, basically D-Day with mech suits and aliens, because they're, like, attacking a beach every time. And then there's a lot of, like, Groundhog's Day style, where, like, Tom Cruise knows what's going to happen, so he's, like, able to, like, save people, and then, like, predict where people are, but then, like, he kind of gets, like, a little bit further and doesn't know what's going to happen, so he dies and has to, like, restart everything. I've seen a lot of people compare it to, like, it's basically the closest, like, a video game that movie's ever done, because it's basically, like, if you're in a video game and you're on, like, a super tough level and you die and you have to keep resetting yourself, it's basically, that's, like, kind of what's going on with Edge of Tomorrow, where, like, you have to, like, Tom Cruise has to, like, basically play this level over and over again and, like, memorize it and then try to, like, beat it and beat the boss. But yeah, lots of awesome time travel stuff. lots of cool action stuff. It's a bunch of like really funny moments and one-liners and stuff. The only major point I would say is that the ending, like, there's like, so there's kind of like a ending and then it goes a little bit too far. Like one more, it's like one scene too far, and then it's just like, that makes no sense and does not. It's just like, this is clearly just tacked on for like a happy ending.
Oh, if it wakes up and like, oh, I stopped everything from happening. Like, oh, damn.
It kind of reminded me of you guys see Source Code?
Yep.
It's kind of like the ending of Source Code a little bit, where it's just like,
where like alternate reality.
Well, I mean,
like dimension thing.
Kind of, but just like, this makes no sense for the rules you set up, and it's also just like clearly just set up for like, oh, tie everything up in a happy bow.
What movie do we talk about where it ends like that? That was recent.
Probably Source Code.
No. We're like, it ends too nicely where everything walks, everyone walks. Okay, it's the Days of Future Past ending where like it just ends and it's like, yay! Don't you explain why. It just, this is the happy future now.
Yeah, kind of like that. But yeah, I would say definitely check it. Like, it's definitely one of the best Tom Cruise movies in a while. Probably since Ghost Protocol. And it's just like, it's a fun, crazy time travel action movie. So definitely go check it out. It's a dark horse. And I think that's going to do it for this week's show. I don't think there's anything else we need to talk about right now. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Facebook.com/everything.action, Twitter.com/EVAction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, and search for us on the iTunes Music Store and Stitcher.com.